the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. We're thanking God that we're able to be here just another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, just thank God that we're able to have the truth, knowing that the writer said that for us to buy the truth and to sell it not, also wisdom and knowledge and understanding. There's nothing like the truth. The truth will make you free. It's good to know that. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? And when Jesus was being judged, we know that He said Himself that I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. So we got to have the truth. So the truth definitely will make us free. Like He said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And today my food for thought will be found in the fourth chapter of 1 John, and the first verse beginning, believe not every, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So we thank God that we know that that spirit of Antichrist is in the world, but we are have overcome that spirit of Antichrist. So we got to believe in the Lord. And a lot of people didn't, that was the trouble with the Jews, that they didn't believe that Jesus came in the flesh. So He did, and like Apostle Paul said, we don't know Him after the flesh. So He's gone on, made the atonement, ascended up on high, led captivity captive, got victory over death, hell, and the grave, gone back to heaven, sent back the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is in us. So that's the power that we need. When they asked Jesus, Acts 1 and 6, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Let him know. He let them know. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. But Acts 1 and 8, but He said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, at the beginning at home, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. So we thank God that we are partakers of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord. This is Minister Robert Walker. My food for thought, I had a couple of them, but I decided to change my mind. My food for thought is coming from Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 1 through 4. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. For fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. I like this one. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And I like that verse number 4, because you hear in the church world today all this gospel comedy shows and comedics in the church. And I don't see that in the scriptures. I don't see in the scriptures where we are to make fun of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as we say these things, I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians 4:16. He says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And so as we speak the truth here, brothers and sisters, we hope that we don't become your enemies in doing so. But I don't see in the scriptures where making fun and joking and jesting, the Bible calls it, or foolish talking, these things should not be named among us who are called saints.
Right.
And so I don't know how we could have youth services and pastor anniversary services and have gospel comics come in and make fun of the gospel. It has no place in the body of Christ, and the scripture has made that very clear.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, we thank God for his word. So that's why we know the truth will make you free, just like this little incident that just happened with the that woman that works for one of those departments in the Obama administration.
Yes.
Yeah. So the truth will make you free. Somebody took a little snippet out of something that she said years ago.
Yes.
And tried to
twist it.
Yeah.
Twist it.
Yeah.
In.
Fox News.
Right.
And quote unquote. Yeah. But we thank God, for the truth will make you free. So that's why we've been doing these series out of the Acts of the Apostles, knowing that this is where salvation is explained. And we know that in the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed. In the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. So we know many things that he's done about his birth and about his will and about his impending sacrifice. All of those things that he had to accomplish, we read about those things in the Gospels. And we know that there is only one gospel. Apostle Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And he goes on to say, "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We know that quote came out of the book of Habakkuk. But there's only one gospel. There's four gospel writers, as we know, Matthew, who wrote to the Jews, Mark, Luke, and also the Apostle John, just that let us know, and he that of the divinity of the Lord, and also he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we know we're not saying nothing that's off the top of our head, but Jesus himself said in 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have life." And they are they, talking about the scriptures, which testify of me. So this is why we've been going through the book of Acts. We've been showing by the scriptures salvation according to the word of the Lord. And that's what we've got to have. So the truth is the only thing that can make you free. So they killed the truth. They buried the truth. But the truth got up. And that's what we've got to know, that some people's eyes have been blinded, but the Bible said if this gospel be hid, that is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto their hearts. So this is how you're going to know. And like we read, and when we come on, that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important what we were endeavoring to teach in the beginning, the Godhead, to give, let you know about the name. And the name of Jesus, the Bible said, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. So it's so important about the name. And even back in the Old Testament, like he said, that he was known by the name of God Almighty. This Exodus 6:3, I believe. But he said, by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. So it was definitely significance in the name. And then we see after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the scriptures. So we know that Jesus is being revealed. He is revealed in the New Testament. So how he was revealed, the Gospels, when these were actual accounts of his life, you know, of his impending death, how he said he can't, you know, that it was written of him to do thy will, that he came in the volume of the book, and the Hebrew writer also and the, gives a witness to the account of him coming in the volume of the book in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, in the 40th chapter of the Psalms. And also we know that John the Baptist was actually the forerunner of Jesus Christ. We can read about that in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. So we know that he was actually the voice that was crying in the wilderness. He was saying, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So we know that we got to believe the word of the Lord. So we're trying to make it plain. So everywhere, and so the biggest argument is most people have is baptism. They don't understand the baptism that's for the remission of sin. And nowhere in the scriptures did the New Testament church baptize any other way but in the name of Jesus or the name of the Lord. We know the name of the Lord is Jesus Christ, or in the name of Jesus, because remission of sins is in the name of Jesus. So they're not your sin, but that's why Peter preached. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is when he preached on the day of Pentecost. He says, promises unto you, talking about the Jews, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So it's so important. You don't get remission of sin. We know that at the Nicene Council, of more than 300 years after Pentecost, Constantine changed that. He had a so-called revelation, and he changed the baptism that we call it Catholic baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's no, the apostles did not baptize in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They understood that the Lord is one and his name is one. They understood who his name is. So this is what we've been endeavoring to do. And so we're going to, and we are right on course to do that. If we have already completely taken you through 19 chapters of the Acts of the Apostles. So we're going to get into the 20th chapter of the Apostles. So today, other than myself, we have Minister Robert Walker, and also Elder Ryan Fountain. So after Elder Fountain gives his food for thought, then we're going to move on into the 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. You have a food for thought?
You know, I don't have a food for thought.
So you can, he's going to bring us up to date on the missionary journeys and where we stand. So we finished up last week. We did complete the 19th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. So we're going to venture off into the 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles.
Amen.
So historian, Elder Ryan Fountain.
Praise the Lord. We, as Elder Cannon said, we have finished the 19th chapter, and at the end of that chapter, Paul was in the city of Ephesus, and there was an uprising, a riot, mind you, that took place in this city, started by the silversmiths that were mad because their craft was being threatened by this gospel message. But they weren't, Paul and his company were not preaching against Diana and the silver. They were just preaching Jesus. And the conviction in the heart of the disciples that got converted caused them to burn the books and to burn the images that they had posted in their households. And they saw a decline in business, the silversmiths did. So this is what caused the uprising. It was very quickly quelled by the leaders of that city, and Paul and them were let go. And Paul was not taken, but two of his followers, and his company were taken. So now we are going into the 20th chapter, and this is after the uproar has ceased. They now depart, as it says in verse number 1. After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. So Paul goes back into Macedonia. He has already preached in this place, but he's going back, reestablishing the churches and encouraging and exhorting them. When he had gone over to those parts and given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode three months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So now Paul has seen increase in the persecution that is arising for him. Everywhere he's going, he's getting persecuted because this gospel message is a threat to those of the Jewish faith and also those of the pagan faith, those that worship after the false gods of the Greco-Roman world. And now it talks about his company, that was all that was with him. And if you note, these men are all of different cities, all of different backgrounds. There's many different backgrounds within the Church of God. And these men all, they had no differences coming. It shows no differences coming when they came together. They all traveled together.
Yeah.
So they had no problems between them, no strife between them. They all gathered, all under different backgrounds, all gathered together and traveled together. And it says, in accompanying him into Asia, Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychius and Tropimus. And these going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, and we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, I want to bring this point out. Notice the day that they met on. They met on the first day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the established day in the church for worship.
Yeah.
Because what day did Christ rise on? He rose on the first day of the week.
Yeah.
So this is the significance of worshiping on the first day of the week. This is why we in the church do not worship on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was for Israel, right? That was established by the law. But we know that we always hear that we're supposed to follow after the Ten Commandments. But what was one of the Ten Commandments? Remember the Sabbath.
Right.
Keep the Sabbath.
Right.
But that commandment is never given in the church.
Yes.
And you can follow all of Paul's and Peter's writings, and they give commandments that line up with all the Ten Commandments except one, and that's keep the Sabbath.
Yes.
We are not to keep the Sabbath. That is not our purpose day for worship.
Yes.
That was for Israel. That is for Israel. And let me take it to another scripture also in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. Paul tells them to bring all their goods together on the first day of the week, because this is the day that they worship. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, chapter 16, verse 1, 1 Corinthians. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given the order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. So he didn't want offerings when he came. They were laying up the store,
right,
paying their tithes unto the church. But they gathered on the first day of the week. This was the day set aside in the churches that was established by the apostles, not by the Roman church.
Right.
As many say that the Roman Catholic Church established worship on the first day of the week. They did not establish this. The apostles established this. And we are following after the apostles' doctrine.
Yes.
So if the apostles established this, we should follow after this, correct?
Yeah, very good.
this is the day that they gathered on, the first day of the week. So I just wanted to bring that point out, that we are not to worship on the Sabbath. We are not Sabbath worshipers.
Right. Good.
Because the Sabbath was set aside for the Jews. And we know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath.
Yes.
So we do not need to follow after days. We do not need to follow after times or seasons.
Yes, good.
We follow after the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Is there anything that you brothers want to add on to
yeah,
this?
That was done away in Christ. Let's see where. These ordinances and all that that he was talking about. It's in the
Colossians
book of...
Colossians 2:14?
Yeah. Blotting out the handwritings. Ordinances which was against us, was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross.
Yes.
Yeah, and he, having spoiled principalities and powers, made assure them openly triumphing over them in it. Let no man judge you therefore in meat or drink, or in respect of an holy day, or a new moon, or the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. That's
yes.
the scripture I was looking for you.
Yes.
I mean, looking for right there.
So we are of the body of Christ,
yes.
and that day was just a shadow of what was to come. The rest is in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Come unto me, all ye are laboring and heavy laden,
yeah.
and I will give you rest.
Yeah, good.
And so that is the rest that we have in Jesus Christ. We don't need a day for rest. Jesus Christ is our rest.
Yeah, rest, right.
So this is why we don't follow after days. This is why we don't follow after times or seasons. And so as Paul preached unto them, we see that there were many lights in the upper chamber, and they were all gathered together. They were all in this upper chamber. There was a young disciple named Eutychus that Paul was preaching on a long time. And we complain now that we're in church two, three hours at a time. This brother preached for hours.
Yes.
He preached so long that this young man fell asleep and fell down out of the loft. They
mm-hmm.
were in the upper chamber. He fell all the way down to the lower chamber. And Paul went down and came over him, and it said he embraced him. In verse number 10, it says, "Trouble not yourselves, for life is in him." And what did Paul do after this? Did he stay at this man's bedside for the rest of the time? No, it says, when he therefore was come up again and broken bread and eaten and talked another long while.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept on teaching. He kept on talking.
Mm-hmm.
And even till the break of day, so he departed. He didn't have to check on this man, but the man was young man was brought alive. He came back to himself.
Right.
And they were not a little comforted. Verse number 12.
Yeah.
So this shows that Paul had a total love for the word. He cared for his brethren, but he was caught up in his word. This gospel had him. I believe it says he was a prisoner of the gospel.
Yes.
He was entangled with the gospel.
Right.
That gospel had him locked, and his heart was solely directed on that gospel. And as soon as he knew that the young man was alive and that God didn't show him that young man was going to die, he didn't need to bother with standing at that man's bedside
right.
all the time. He knew he was going to get up.
Right.
He had that sort of faith that he knew that the young man was going to get up. So after this, he left out of Troas, and verse 13, he went before the ship and sailed unto Assos, and were intending to take in Paul, for he had so appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over to Chios, and the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogilium, and the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So Paul was kind of rushing himself to get back to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, as we talked about before, that this was a time to gather with the brethren. There's going to be brethren from all over the world gathering at these feasts. This feast was a big thing in that part of the world. So there was people coming from all over the world, chance to gather with many different types of brethren from many different backgrounds, and this was Paul's ministry to get with people from different backgrounds.
Right.
And
thank you. Don't lose your thought. Yeah, I wanted to make sure I give the call-in number, 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. Yeah, I also wanted to say, we got to. Sometimes you may wonder about the way that this is coming across, but we have to realize that Apostle Paul is the one of the main characters here in this writing, but Luke is the gospel writer.
Yes.
So he may not be the one always speaking when
yes,
you're reading
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, yeah. Amen. And that is a very good point.
Yeah.
You notice that the personal pronouns have changed
yes.
from Paul and his group
yeah.
to us.
Yeah.
Right.
Meaning that when he says us, that means Luke was a part of this group also.
Yeah.
He was traveling with them at this point in time. Now, we saw that before, I believe, in the 16th chapter where
mm-hmm.
he said us and he was with that group.
Mm-hmm.
And he has stopped for a while, but now he is back with the group and with Paul on the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So, Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost to meet with the brethren, chance to gain more unto the Lord by preaching, because there's going to be a lot of people in that city at that time, in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So now, but he also wanted to speak with Ephesus, because as I said before, Ephesus was one of his favorite churches. From the writings he had, that Ephesus and Corinth were two of his favorite churches
yes.
to go to. He told Corinth, I robbed many churches to be with you. So he gave them a lot of time because they were a very gifted church, but they were a very immature church. Now, on the flip side of that, Ephesus was a very mature church. They were well established in the doctrine, and they were also very talented.
Yeah.
So he wanted to give them a lot of time. So this is what he determined. But he was not going to be able to make it back to Ephesus. So he had to call from Miletus to Ephesus for the elders to come unto him. And when they were come unto him, verse 18, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, the main persecutors of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And how I kept nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house. And that's another point that I want to bring out today, that Paul, everywhere Paul went, he was public about what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He had no secret doctrine.
Right.
And he didn't go in one place and preach one thing and go into another place and preach another thing to appease the people. He preached the same gospel
yes.
in Corinth. He preached the same gospel in Ephesus. He preached the same gospel in Jerusalem, Antioch, any city that he went into, any region that he went into, he preached the same gospel. And I think a lot of brethren today don't do that. They preach apostolic message to the apostolic.
Yes.
They preach a Baptist message unto the Baptist. They preach the Church of God in Christ message unto those in the Church of God in Christ, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
They change the gospel in order to fit the needs of personalities within the church.
Right.
So that they can make their ministry can continue to grow
mm-hmm.
and make money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that is not what the intention of the gospel is for.
Right.
The intention of the gospel is not for lucre, is not for gain, but is for souls to be won to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Paul's sole intent with the gospel. And we'll read on that he says that
I think it also brings up another point that how can a apostolic church then bring in a Baptist preacher to preach in an apostolic church?
Exactly, and that brings in confusion. That brings in strife. And again, we spoke on this last week that those two things are devilish.
Yeah,
contention and strife. When you have contention and strife and confusion, that's where the devil works.
Yeah.
Right.
That is the arena in which the devil works, and that is when he can overthrow minds and can subvert souls.
Yes.
When confusion is brought in, and when you bring in a person that is not of the faith, you bring in confusion.
Right.
And you are going to kill the sheep. You're feeding the sheep poison.
Right. Right. We've been adapted into the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way somebody is, you got to go through the procedures to legally adopt a person. And
right.
And when you adopt a person, they have full rights as the family. They have the family name.
Right.
So the other people, they can't come and preach to us. They don't have the name of Jesus. They don't have anything to preach about.
Amen. And in 2 John, the 9th verse, he says, Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ,
yes,
he hath both the Father and the Son.
Yes.
That is where God dwells, is in the doctrine.
Right.
Yes.
And in reading in verse 10, it says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house.
Yes.
Now, that word house, a church in that day was held in the house.
Right.
It was held in houses. Yes.
That's where they held their services, was
right.
In houses.
Yes.
So when he says that, bring not anybody that bring this doctrine into your house, bring them not into your church.
Right.
Yes.
These people should not be in the pulpits preaching
exactly.
Unto you.
Exactly.
That's what he's saying in this.
Yes.
Neither bid him Godspeed. Don't give him any sort of recognition. They should be coming to hear you. They should be coming to hear us and
right.
Be converted.
Right.
Their intention is to convert you and to
yes.
Get money out of you
yes.
And to bring you into their faith.
Yes.
That.
Yes.
But we should be doing that unto them.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you change your message and if you allow them to preach their message unto you, you will eventually get turned unto their message.
Yeah. Right. They're perverting the gospel of Christ.
And I think he brings up this point, and I think this point is neat, and that is this, is that it shows that there is a clear line of demarcation. There is a difference between the apostolic doctrine, the Methodist message, the Baptist doctrine. There is a clear line of demarcation. There
yes.
Is a difference.
Yes.
Right.
There
exactly.
Is a difference.
Right.
And so to say that we are all the same, we're all coming together to praise and to worship God. No. You have to buy in the doctrine, and
yes.
There is a clear line of demarcation
and
between these different faiths.
The
right.
Only way you can worship God is in
spirit and in truth.
So
yes.
You have to have the Holy Ghost, and you have to rightly divide the truth in order to worship him.
Exactly.
And if you're not doing that after that manner, you're not truly worshiping him.
Right.
You are worshiping in vain because he's not even hearing what you're saying.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
You're doing that for your own glory.
Right.
And if you are corrected on that and you see that you are in error and continue in your error, then you are a reprobate mind. You are not somebody that you're not God's child.
Right.
You're not his sheep.
Right.
You are of your father, the devil.
Right.
Right. And that's why Jesus said, little children, this is the last time, 1 John 2:18, that as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists,
mm-hmm.
Whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us. They were not of us. They had been of us. They would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out. They might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And he says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledge the Son hath the Father also. See, this is what people are afraid of. They call us Jesus only. We didn't name ourselves that. No, we know who Jesus is. If you have the Son, you have the Father also.
Amen. I think then it goes back to, I know it's controversial, but the fact of the matter is, if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, then you are not saved.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're not truly a disciple. You're not truly a Christian, because those that were first called Christians were in Antioch.
Right.
And all those in Antioch were baptized the same way. They received the Holy Ghost the same way.
Yes.
They were all abiding in the doctrine. That was Paul's home church.
Yes.
This is where he came out of.
Right.
And this was his headquarters. And this is when he left out of there, he brought the same. They had to prove that he had the same doctrine that everybody else had.
And we have said it before, but there is not one example in the scriptures where anyone was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or just confess with your mouth. There's no example.
No. And that, like I said, that was a big lie. That so-called revelation that Constantine received was a devilation, because there was no such thing as no Holy Trinity. That is a holy lie. That is not there. God is not three, but God is one, and his name is one. There is no such thing as the Trinity. But we know that God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And also,
here's another scripture. In the Acts, the 20th chapter, the 28th verses, and take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost made you overseers.
Yes.
To feed the church of God,
which he purchased.
Who purchased? God purchased it with his own blood.
Right.
How did God purchase it with his own blood?
Right.
And God is a spirit. God was within a man.
Yes.
He had a body fitted for him.
Yes.
The book of Hebrews tells us that he fashioned himself a body.
Right.
And put himself in that body. How he purchased it with his own blood. With the Son Jesus Christ that was born of a woman to redeem us from our sins.
Yes.
But we don't worship Jesus Christ after the flesh. This is why they call us Jesus only, because they say we only recognize the Son, but we're not recognizing the Son after the flesh.
Yes.
We are worshiping Jesus Christ after the Spirit.
Yes.
And what was the Spirit that was within him? The Spirit was the Father.
Right. Yes.
The Spirit is the Son.
Yes.
And the Spirit is the Holy Ghost. It's all one Spirit.
It's all one Spirit, yes.
There's three that abide in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost.
Right.
These three are one.
Right.
Are one. But there's three that bring witness in the earth. That's the water, the blood, and the Spirit.
Yes.
These three agree
in one.
In one.
Yes.
Agree in one. Yes.
So there's a difference between agreement in one.
Yes.
And being one.
Right.
They are one. Jesus said, me and my Father are one.
Yes.
Yes.
They are only one entity. There's not three entities within one.
Yes.
It's only one entity manifested in three manners: Father in creation, Son in redemption, and Holy Ghost in the comfort of our souls. And any other doctrine that you bring is false. And we should not have this in the church of God, which is the apostolic church.
Right, and that's why people don't understand. They don't have an understanding. And that's why John wrote, and on down, he said, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. So the Son of God is Jesus.
Yes.
We know that he is the Son. He is the S-O-N of the S-U-N. He is the sure enough Son. So that's why he said, he that hath the Son hath life. So that's what happened to the Jews initially, why they're still at that wall weeping and wailing, because they didn't recognize the Messiah when he came. Even a woman at the well in the fourth chapter of St. John, she said, we know when the Messiah has come, which is called Christ, he shall tell us all things. And he said, Jesus said, I that speaketh unto thee am he.
Yes.
And that's why he told the Jews, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. I'm the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about, Jesus.
Let me ask you, brothers. There are very sincere individuals out there. They just don't believe in Christ. They just don't believe. But they are very sincere.
Yeah, that's okay. But, I mean, your own righteousness is not going to do it.
Amen. Apollos was a righteous man.
Yeah.
Apollos was a sincere man.
Yeah.
He preached after what he knew. But when he came in contact with Sapphira and
Aquila and Priscilla.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That
they expounded
unto him more perfectly the way of life.
Right. Yes.
And he had to convert to that. He had to come into subject to that.
Yes.
When you come into the knowledge of the truth, you have to come subject to the truth.
Right.
Yes.
See, that's where we get caught up. There's a preacher. He's smooth with words, but he has not been baptized in the name of Jesus or filled with the Holy Ghost. So it doesn't matter. That's what we get caught up in. It doesn't matter if you say this and that. If you've been born again, that's what God is talking about.
Right.
That's what they said about Peter and John, that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they had to take note of them that they had been with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's most important, that you've been born again. So there's, even nowadays, theologians, I've seen them on a National Geographic channel, when they talk about different biblical things, they can't even all agree. Some have to agree, yes, God did do this and God did do that. And there's others that are mocking, trying to mock what God done. But like we said, I believe on last week, that true science and God's word is in perfect harmony. That's why the Bible says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So that's why Job said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And
yes.
Depart from evil is understanding.
Yes.
So that's evil to think that there's two or three gods. That's an insult. God created everything by himself. So he had to take on a body. That's why he sacrifices and offerings, he said, thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me.
Amen.
And he's given witness on what we had said earlier. That's why he said, behold, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do thy will. In the 40th Psalm and the 10th chapter of the book of the Hebrews, the Lord came. So that's what people don't understand, that he took on a body. He was the Lamb of God. That's why John said, behold the Lamb of God. When he saw Jesus coming, that taketh away the sin of the world. He knew who he was. He recognized him. One we've been talking about.
And there's, you know, I'm going to let out a secret. There's no argument against this doctrine. There's no argument against that Jesus is God.
Yeah.
There's a lot of preachers that are Trinitarians out there that know this.
Yes.
There's a lot of preachers that know this.
Yes.
But they will not admit to it. They will not follow after it, because that will have to mean they have to admit that they were wrong all of these years in what they were preaching.
Yes.
And they have to admit that they were wrong, and they don't, and their pride won't let them do that.
Won't let them do it.
So that is a major thing. So you have to be careful following after a man that will not listen to this doctrine.
Right.
Because they know it's right.
Yeah.
There's no scripture that you can prove that says that Jesus is not God. We've given you so many scriptures just in this short period of time that shows that Jesus is the true and living God.
Yes.
There's no scripture that proves that there's a Trinity. The word Trinity isn't even in the Bible. The concept isn't in the Bible. The concept is actually insulting. If you went to a Jewish man today and brought up the term Trinity to him, he would find it insulting.
Yeah.
Because we worship after the same God that the Jews worship after. It's only one God.
Yes.
To say that there's more than one God is taking out half the scriptures in the Bible.
Yes.
Right.
And we have to uphold what this word is saying.
Yes.
Isaiah said, I am the Savior, and there is none beside me.
Right.
And that is Jehovah speaking.
Yes.
The Father speaking.
Yes.
But how is he the Savior, and Jesus Christ is our Savior?
They have to be one.
Because he's one. Yes.
Yeah.
Said,
argument to me there. How can you argue against that?
Yeah. He did it all by himself. So that's why, and then the Bible said he created all things by Jesus Christ. So that's what Apostle Paul, like Elder Fountain, made mention earlier about the church at Ephesus. And look at this church where he says that he wrote long sentences in there, that he ceased not to make mention of them always in his prayers. They knew who the Lord was. He said, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Let you know what is the hope of his calling. All these things in Christ that he done. So that's why he said that he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man,
mm-hmm.
to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we don't be no more, we be no more henceforth children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, whereby they wait to deceive. But he said, speak the truth in love, and grow up in him who is the head of all things. And he went on to say, even Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not no insult to God, because he is God. He is the anointed one.
Amen. And he thought it not robbery to call
be
himself
equal
with God.
Yeah.
How is he equal with God?
Because
he
had
to
God.
Be God.
Yes. God's not giving his glory to nobody else.
Amen.
He said, whom then will ye liken me, saith the Lord? And then that's another thing that people talk about the devil. The devil ain't everywhere. The devil walketh as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There are many demon spirits on the scene. And that's why James says, you believe there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe
and
tremble. He didn't say the devil. He said the devils.
Yes.
Those are demon spirits.
Amen.
But you don't want to meet the devil himself. You sure enough need help from on high, because he is as a lion. But we know greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Yes, yes. All right. So with that being said, we know who God is.
Yes.
We know how God dwells in this church. And
where you at? 21.
Yes,
yeah.
We are in verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
It says that he taught publicly. He taught this same doctrine that
yeah.
we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
He taught it publicly from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. This was as Paul was led by the Spirit everywhere he went.
Yeah.
And he was led knowing what he was meant to do in whatever city. And we know that in the 16th chapter, when he was wanting to go into Asia, that the Spirit led him into Macedonia, seeing a man saying, we need help here. So now Paul is being led to Jerusalem, but he says, I don't know what's going to go on, because
right.
I'm hated in Jerusalem.
Right.
I am despised in Jerusalem. But the Lord is leading me to go into this city, and I don't know what the purpose is, but there is a purpose, because there's one more group of people, because Paul, when he was first commissioned, when he was first saved, he said, you will preach unto Jews, Gentiles, and there's one more group that he has to preach unto, and that's kings.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll see those in Jerusalem when he is captured and put into prison. Verse 23, say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
Yes. Now, everything that you said is all talking about one.
Yeah.
When you started off saying in the 21st verse, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, the same God, the Spirit, in the Spirit under Jerusalem, knowing that of the things that were going to happen to him. But he says, save the Holy Ghost, that's the same God. And then goes on down here, the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God, the same God.
Yes, amen. And this is his joy.
Yes.
That is the joy of the Lord, to know this doctrine and to gain knowledge of him and to get closer to him, because
yes.
that is our hope,
yes.
is to be with him. This is the hope that he's preaching. And so if he finishes his course, then all there is left is to be with Jesus.
I think what's so important is, and that is this, is that you see here a man who is being led by the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And it's a powerful thing to see men and women truly led by the Holy Ghost. Souls are involved in the process, and not just someone doing it or speaking from their own heart
right.
for money's sake.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't doing this for offerings, and
no.
we'll read that later on. That he wasn't doing all this work for offerings, because Paul really didn't have much money.
Mm-hmm.
He was taken care of, and he was blessed in every
right.
city that he went to, but he didn't become rich off of this.
Right.
He didn't have his own private jetliner, he didn't have a solid gold toilet in his house.
He didn't have a posse father.
Yeah,
armor bearer.
No, so-called armor bearer. He had the armor, all right.
Yeah, somebody pouring water on him and feeding him grapes and such. He didn't have all of that.
He didn't have all that.
He had people that followed after him preaching the gospel with him.
Yes.
And they were doing work.
Right.
This is work that
right.
he was doing.
He had treasure. He had that treasure. Like he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Yes.
He had the goods. He had the law. He had all that he learned sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. And all those that were with him, they went with him, all right, to get some more food.
Yes.
And that is spiritual food.
Yes.
Spiritual food.
And he didn't rely on his credentials to get him by. He relied on Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He didn't rely on sitting at the teachings of Gamaliel to get him by in life.
No.
He didn't go by being of the stock of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day. He counted that all for dung.
That's right.
Yes.
That's what he said in the
Christ.
Book of Philippians,
yes.
That I may gain Christ. This was his total focus. Like I said before, this was his total focus in life, was the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
And that Christ crucified and him preached unto all. That all bring all men unto repentance.
Right.
This was his aim, to reach as many men as possible.
I think it's then it needs to be said then that you don't get an understanding of this word. You don't get revelation of this word by going to institutions of higher learning.
No.
This is revelation knowledge.
Right.
Amen.
So Paul was an educated man.
Right.
But he didn't get the understanding of this word. Via the institutions that he went to, he got this revelation by Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
And I'm saying that to say, because men think they can go to an institution of higher learning to get an understanding of who God is.
Amen.
And it's not the case.
And,
no.
And that's not to downplay education and
right.
at all.
No.
You can be educated.
I have a master's degree. But
you still have to be revelated by God in order to know him.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
That's why it said, when I come among you, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yes, yes.
So he said, I didn't come with enticing words of man wisdom, but, you know, by demonstration and power of the Spirit, that your faith won't be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's what's so important nowadays. You know, everybody, nowadays you look at these people, they have to summarize it up by, I'll bring our offering. Get a $20 bill in your hand. You know, like you're going to buy a blessing. You can't buy a blessing. And they're not even telling you the way of salvation.
Amen.
They're using you for merchandise. They're merchandising you.
And that's what he tells you in 2 Peter, that
yeah.
they're going to make merchandise of
yeah.
you. They are after filthy lucre.
Right.
And that is what these men are after today. So if they're not preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, they're not preaching the truth. So, as we move on, he count on my life dear unto myself. Verse 25, we read, and now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. He had no intention, he had no vision of going back unto Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
But he cared for them so much that he wanted them to know that he cared.
Yeah,
them.
Right.
And he had to show them the love that he had for them.
Yeah.
For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he have purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing ye shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Those are those who we thought were of us, but were not really of us.
Right.
And those men that crept in unawares. That's what is spoken of in the book of 1 John and also of Jude. This is the same thing that Paul is talking about here. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. Whose hands? His own hands. His own hands have ministered. By what? His trade. He was a tent maker. He everything that he did, he did on his own accord. He did with his own money. He did with his own power and his own abilities.
His own skills.
So, and to them that were with me, they everyone had to carry their own load. They weren't going in trying to take everybody's money. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that he should they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. So they heard everything he said, but they really were touched by the love that he showed them. And this shows the love that was with between Paul and this church. That they were sorrowful that they would not see him any longer. He was their main leader. He was the one that established that church. So from here we will move on to the 21st verse. This is where he ends the third missionary journey. This is the only missionary journey of the three that did not end at Antioch. It ends in Jerusalem. And I have time to read through to get to where he gets to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Coas, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence Patara, and finding a ship, sailed over to Phoenicia. We went aboard and set forth, and when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was unlaid her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, whom said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way, with wives and children, till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave of one another, we took ship and returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we went to Ptolemy and saluted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. It shows that there's women preachers, because these women prophesied, they preached. And we tarried there many days, and came a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When he heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am not ready bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.
We thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.